They're playing is some footage of the floods in Bundaberg. Does anyone remember when the floods happened in Bundaberg? 2 or 3 years ago? It was actually the start of this year. That's how long the year's been. But you're actually right, because 2 or 3 years ago they did have floods, and then they got hit again really badly at the start of this year. And they were just going through the town showing the devastation. A house that had been moved 400 metres. A street where there was 8 or 9 cars all piled up, crashed into one another, that had been moved by the waters. They have a footage of a boat, you know, 10, 15 metre long boat. And then they pan back and you see that the actual edge of the water is 50 metres away. It had been pulled inland. I just want you to think back to some of those pictures you've seen of the flood, and just how devastating floodwaters can be and what they do. Now, Bundaberg, I'm sure, is still involved in rebuilding after that. They're doing flood mitigation works, you know, the works to protect the town from the next flood that comes their way. The engineers are sort of rubbing their hands together going, how can we build houses that will survive another flood like that? What foundations, what structures are needed to survive that sort of thing? I wanted us thinking that way because Jesus raises the idea of a flood coming and hitting a house. And Jesus' concern in these two illustrations, I think, pushes to ask the question, what are the foundations that will last in life through to eternity? And he asks that question because a day will come when God's final judgment will descend, the final flood of God's wrath against humanity will be poured out. And Jesus wants to make sure that we have foundations that will last, that will survive on that day. So before we turn and get into the text of Luke chapter 6, let me pray for us, that we might have ears to hear what God's got to say in the Bible tonight. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us, that you make us aware of life now and life to come. And Father, we ask that you give us ears to hear what you've got to say about foundations for eternity. And please help us to respond rightly to your word tonight. Amen. Well, the first illustration is the one in the about the fruit. We're down at the point that says foundations are found in the heart. When he talks about the fruit, he's pointing to the heart as the place to go to check out your foundations. So verse 43, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. I hope that's a pretty easy principle. A tree is known by its fruit, and the quality of the fruit tells you about the quality of the tree. If you pick a little thing that's sort of red and a bit squishy, you've probably gone to a what? Is it a plant, a tree, vine? I don't know. A tomato thing, and picked it, right? If you've got a... Yeah, anyway, you got the idea, right? You pick the fruit, it tells you what type of tree it is. The quality of the fruit tells you the quality of the tree. Verse 45, though, Jesus goes on and he makes his point. He says, the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. If you want to find out where your foundations are, go to the heart. Where is the heart? And the mouth gives expression to your heart. The mouth is a really, really great pointer. It's like if you ever the litmus test in science, where you put it in to test pH levels or acid levels. The tongue is like the litmus test for your heart. James chapter 3 talks a lot about the tongue and how hard it is to control, being so small yet it's really hard to control. It reveals what our heart is like. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian now 25 years, and I've often heard Christians and I've heard the church attacked as being a bunch of hypocrites. Because people see us and they hear the way that we speak and they see our actions and they say that isn't in keeping with what the Bible teaches. Or at least what we think the Bible teaches and what you should be like. And Christians often reply, but we're not perfect. We're not perfect, we're sinners who've been forgiven by God. We've entered into that relationship with Him. But you know what? That will only go so far. If you are one of Christ, then it should be showing in the way that you live. It should be making a difference. Right? It should be producing fruit. Now, if following Jesus isn't changing the way that you live, then you need to check the roots. You need to go back and check where your heart is. Do you really trust Him? Are you committed to following Him? If you want to think about the idea of a crown, representing who's king, is the crown on your head or is it on Jesus' head and you're following Him? Do that little self-check. So the foundations Jesus speaks of is found in the heart, and those foundations are seen in the life that we live, the things that we do, and in particular Jesus makes mention of the way that we speak. So there's always a reason for the things we say. Our words reveal who we are in our heart, in our inner nature, in our character, where our allegiance lies. So go back and look at the heart. The next thing that Jesus does when he goes into the next illustration is he says those foundations are formed by responding to Jesus' words. Right? Jesus is speaking of foundations for eternity. He says they're found in the heart. They're expressed through what we say. And then he shares how those foundations are formed. Come with me down to verse 46. It's all about responding in the right way to Jesus' words. So verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I'll show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Around Jesus are a bunch of people who would call themselves his disciples, his followers. And verse 46, he says, "Why do you guys call me Lord? Why do you say I'm master, I'm the king, I'm the one with the crown that you're following? Why do you claim allegiance to me, yet not listen to what I say?" If you claim the title Christian, a follower of Christ, then when you hear the words of Jesus, you ought to respond to them, you ought to obey them. And verse 46 is a full-on verse. Do you call Jesus Lord? Is he the one that you've given your allegiance to? The one that you follow? So this comes on the back of a series of teaching by Jesus. And he's called, when he says, come and do what I ask you, listen, these are some of the things he's covered over the previous sort of 20 verses. In chapter 6, verse 20 to 26, Jesus called his disciples to have a radically different outlook on life. See, the world says the present reality and what you can get in this life is what it's all about. What does Jesus say to his disciples? No, it's the heavenly reality. Live in the present with a view to the heavenly reality of where we're going. Then from verse 27, Jesus talks about how we relate to our enemies. And in some ways, Chris let us off the hook because he didn't push us particularly on our enemies. He pushes very much on how we relate to one another and how we love one another. And I don't know about you, it's in some ways it's almost harder to love your brothers and sisters well, isn't it, than people you don't know. But he says we are to love our enemies. We're to love one another, being gracious, merciful, forgiving. And that's a way that is radically beyond the normal way of thinking. And then Jesus, in the previous sort of 10 verses to this, calls his disciples, stop pointing out the problems with everybody else. Stop finding the specks in other people's eyes and get rid of the whopping big log that's stuck in your own eye. If you're one of my followers, you've got to be putting away sin. You've got to be seeking to live holy, godly lives. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Next year as a church, we'll be spending a lot of time thinking about discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus. I think in many ways it's going to be a hard year for us. We're going to get pushed really hard by the Word of God about what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to live that out, to journey with Him together as His disciples? Because when Jesus speaks, He draws a line. He says, you're either with me or you're not. You're either in or you're out. Jesus isn't some cuddly little guy in a white dress that we put a nice picture up of, that you can just come to on your own terms in the way that you sort of work out. Jesus says, come and enter something. He says, come to me. Come as a disciple. Come as one who is eager to hear and obey. Come as one who is eager to hear and obey and honour me. And when you come to Jesus, and you come eager to hear and obey and honour him, you are sending down those deep roots. You're digging down into the rock, laying the foundations that will not be shaken. And as you build those foundations, as you draw close to him, it will bring about change in your life. So to call Jesus Lord is to say to Jesus, your brand matters. Being with you matters. Your ways matter. That Jesus comes, he came into the world to invite us to enter into God's grace, to experience the assurance of a foundation that will last for eternity. And we're called to accept that invitation and to follow his call to live and to love in a way that differs radically from this world. Being merciful and gracious to others. Working on our own faults rather than picking at those of others. And following the words of Jesus. Now, a lot of us, you'll hear often from us up the front, encouraging you to talk about what we've learnt in a church service afterwards. Encouraging you to go to Bible study or meet up one-to-one to read the Bible. This is why we do it. To help us sink our roots deep down into Christ. To help encourage us to be living, to be hearing the word of Christ and obeying it and honouring him. Because he's actually gathered us together for that purpose. To support and encourage and spur one another on. We don't say it lightly, those encouragements to keep talking about things. We do it because we want to see us growing together as people who honour and worship Christ, to be drilling down deep into him as the foundation of who we are as individuals and who we are as a church. Because friends, people can have a life that looks really impressive, but if the foundations are not right, they will be swept away on Judgment Day. Only foundations built on Jesus will stand on that day. Only those who hear and respond to his words from the heart will stand. And the one without foundations built on Jesus may have every outward appearance of respectability. They may even be known as religious types. But if they don't have a foundation in Jesus, it'll all be swept away by that final flood of God's judgment. Now, I think for me, as I've been working through this, I think the two illustrations raise an important question for us about these foundations that last for eternity. Because what's the difference when we look at two houses and they look essentially the same? You know, what we would call their works, the things that they do, the way they live their life, they look almost the same. Right? Can you tell a person's eternal future by just looking at the product of their life? You know, there's lots of good people, have a host of good works, but they may not know God or may not know Jesus and follow him. And on the other hand, you see some people who claim the name of Christ, and you think, what are they doing? Where are they going? They seem really ungodly. So in asking what foundations last for eternity, we need to answer, what are my good works? What do they count for? Will God accept me into heaven if I've lived a good life? One of the lines I hear from people is what Pearl Jam had in their song. Oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven. That's the assumption. So I got to be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world. That sums up the attitude of a lot of people that I meet. If I can lay a foundation of a good life where my good works outweigh my bad, then I will earn my way to heaven. If we only had verses 43 to verse 45, the fruit stuff, part of this passage, I think you could be excused for thinking that that's what the Bible teaches. But we've got to put the two passages together. We've got to read all of Scripture. And when we put the two sections together, what we would call our good works, our being kind and generous to other people and alike, they're not the measure. The measure of what is a good work is if we hear and respond to Jesus. If we hear and respond to Jesus. It's the clear teaching of the Bible. No one can earn their way to heaven. Good works are not the way to heaven. Good works will be the natural product of our right foundations. But they cannot earn our way to heaven. As you get a bit older and you get into building houses, if you build a house in Sydney, one of the inevitable things that happens is your house will crack. Because Sydney has lots of clay, and clay expands and shrinks. All the older people that have houses are nodding their heads. It expands and shrinks. And as it expands and shrinks, your foundations move and cracks happen. One of the churches I was at, two-story house, and their son used to be able to put his novels into the wall and use it like a bookshelf. Like, was everything moved that much. The quality of the workmanship above the ground means nothing if the foundations aren't right. Okay? We need to make sure that the foundation is right. That's the difference between the good work and the evil work. If this miracle took place in your house and you went and did the washing up for mum and dad, is that a good thing? Yes? If mum or dad had said, I want you to go and do your homework, and you've gone, I'm going to do the washing up, is it a good thing? Why is it not a good thing? Because you've been asked to do your homework, and you've gone and gone, no, I'm not going to do it your way, I'm going to do things my way. The washing up in and of itself is a good thing. But you've been asked to go this way and you've gone, no, I'm going to go that way. This is the thing with the foundations. The first thing God says, the first thing Jesus says is, come to me. If we don't go to Him and then live in light of being with Him, all those good things are nothing. Because we've missed the most important thing that there is, being in a right relationship, walking with God and the Lord Jesus. So do you know what? You can be as kind and generous and merciful. You can not run other people down. You can talk well of people. You can not get angry. You can be compassionate. You can be loving. But if you're not right with Jesus, it all counts for nothing. It will all be washed away on that final day of judgment. See, the good fruit is a career, it's a lifelong walk with Jesus. And you know what? As you walk that life, those good works, they will come. Because we're going to be listening to Him and hearing His call and hearing how He calls us to live, and we're going to be seeking to do it. Now, we do look around and we see sometimes we look at our own house, like our own life, and go, it's a pretty ordinary looking house. I'm not doing a real good job of following Jesus and living His way. The Apostle Paul wrote letters to the church in Corinth, a town in Greece. And he was encouraging them to be godly and live Jesus' way. And he'd written to them and he'd been to them and they continued to struggle. And I think he was sort of pulling his hair out and he said, you guys, you need to have a good look at yourself. He said these things. He said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Don't you realize this? That Jesus Christ is in you. Meaning, it should bring a change to the way that you live. And then he says, unless indeed you fail to meet the test, unless, of course, you're not with Jesus. If you are not growing in godliness, if you're not growing more like Jesus, if you're not hearing His word and seeking to live it out, then you need to ask the question, where is the heart? Have you put your trust in Jesus or not? Now, there's going to be times where we struggle and we're stumbling and we're caught in sin and it's real hard work. And we need to hear the words of Jesus and turn back to Him. Because if you consider ourselves as houses, we're houses under reconstruction. We're being remade like Jesus. As we hear His word, as we respond in obedience, as we seek to honour Him, we're being made more like Him. We're putting off the old ways that are all about me being the King, and we're putting on the new ways which are all about Jesus being the King. Houses under reconstruction. That's what we are. Now my guess is, over the next few months, you'll see more vision on the television of floods striking either in this country or around the world. As you're shocked and devastated and amazed by the destruction that they bring, I want you to think forward to the last day, the day of God's judgment, because that day will come. It will be like a flood and it will be devastating. I want you to remember that on that day, the only thing that will stand will be the foundations that are laid in Christ Jesus. Those people who've put their foundation in Christ will be welcomed into eternity, for they heard His word and they've done what He said. And it all starts with confessing your need for a Saviour because you're a sinner, admitting that Jesus is the only source of that salvation, and turning to Him and committing to following Him as Lord. Let me pray for us that when that last day comes, we may be found to have foundations sunk deep into Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you don't leave us without knowledge of what is to come. That you give us your word, you tell us about the future, and you tell us the way to be prepared for that future. We thank you that in Jesus, our sin has been paid for, and that by putting our trust in his salvation, we can know we can stand confidently on that day, knowing that we will stand for Christ, for we stand on Christ. Father, help us all to examine our hearts, to be able to see clearly whether we trust in Jesus or not, and that we will all take the steps to put our trust in Jesus and live his way and do the good works that come from knowing him, rather than just going and doing the good that we want to do and hoping that that will be good enough on the final day, because you've told us that that won't be the case. It's only if we first put our trust in the Lord Jesus. Please help us to do this. Amen.